Last Sunday, we took a look at the miracles of Jesus and of the apostles, and we asked the question, for what purpose are the miracles? And has that purpose been met? Today, we're going to take a look at the miraculous gifts, and we're going to see how these gifts were conferred upon Christians. And if the need for miraculous gifts is still there, that was there the days of the apostles. Jesus and his life conferred miracle-working power on his disciples when he would send them out on a particular mission. For example, Matthew 10, verse 1. Jesus called his 12 followers together and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every kind of disease and sickness. I'll be with that. Every kind. There was not a disease or sickness the 12 could not heal. Every miracle they performed then could be traced back to Jesus. He was the source of their power to do miracles. In Matthew 10, 40, Jesus said, "Whoever accepts you accepts me, and whoever accepts me also accepts the one." They were his authority. If they accepted them, then they were accepting Jesus, and thereby accepting God. During Christ's life on earth, we see no other person conferring such power and authority to others. Jesus did it. And as we noted last week, the miracle that Jesus and his apostles did were noticeable. They were so noticeable that people could tell the difference between Jesus and his followers and others who had claimed to do miracles. It was so obvious a difference. We noticed the miracles were instant, permanent, and of such a level of amazement that they were called wonders, because it left people wondering about the power of Jesus and his 12 disciples. The disciples are nowhere portrayed at that time as granting others the power that they themselves enjoy. It is also evident that this miracle-working power they possessed was not something permanent. After their mission, we don't often hear about the use of this power. It was theirs only when they were fulfilling the mission on which Jesus had sent them. After his ascension, the apostles were not to go immediately in their ministry. They were commanded to do what? Anybody know? They were commanded to wait in Apopka, Florida. No. Where? In Jerusalem. Luke 24, 49. "I will send you what my Father has promised, but you must stay in Jerusalem until you have received that power from heaven." So where is this power coming from? It's coming from heaven. And who will receive it? The apostles. The first instance of his outpouring of this miraculous gift of the Holy Spirit was on the day of Pentecost. That was a unique experience in the life of the church simply because it was the beginning of the Spirit's work on earth, his special ministry, his new work. And how often does something begin? Again, a beginning, there's only one beginning. Now, Charlie, we had two beginnings. We had the one at our birth, when we were babies, and then we had one at our birth, spiritual. Pentecost, the third one. was not needed a second time. And the reason for this is simple. Having filled the apostles with the Holy Spirit, the Lord chose them to be His special channel of power. They were unique. They were one of a kind, as He was one of a kind. They were to be specially used by God to supervise the growth of Christianity. That was what an apostle was all about. They started in the center in Jerusalem, and what were they commanded? They were to take the gospel to the uttermost part of the world. I haven't been reading King James. I learned in King James too. But to the end of the world. The Bible teaches that they were the foundation of the church, with Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. Ephesians 2, 19 and 20. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household. But on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus Himself as chief cornerstone. How often do you lay a foundation? Once. Unless, of course, it's broken. But Jesus' foundation won't get broken. After the apostles received the power of the Spirit, the norm was established. They, the apostles, played a unique role of leadership in the spiritual and physical development of the New Testament church. They were its foundation, and their teaching, which is the teaching of Jesus Christ, would be the basis for everything the church would do. And as a minister of the Word, it has laid upon me a great responsibility to study and stay scriptural, stay biblical. Because the moment I leave the realm of the New Testament in my teaching, I'm trading dangerous ground. Foundations are laid only once. Jesus directed the church through them. Acts 1, 1 through 5. Luke, who wrote Acts, was a historian. And historians tend to be, what's a good word for it? Historical. I am a learned historian. That was one of my majors, and I got a master's in history and taught it for 5 years in Dallas, Texas, at a community college. I could be historically based, too, and my wife is kind of tired of that. Because I always like to tell her historical facts. But Luke, being a historian, wants to be accurate, and historians tend to bring up main points, do we not? We like the main points to be brought up. Points that we consider of extra importance that we're going to mention them. Let's listen to Theophilus. The first book I wrote you was about everything Jesus began to do and teach. Who knows what that first book was that Luke wrote? The Gospel of Luke. Until the day he was taken up into heaven. Before this, with the help of the Holy Spirit, Jesus told the apostles he had chosen what they should do. He prepared the apostles for this huge job, not only of leadership in the church as being the foundation, but they were to preach the truth of Jesus. And as far as I know, at least as far as tradition goes, all the apostles paid for this teaching in their life. We know that John was the one then who died of old age on, many say Ephesus, don't they? In Dallas? Oh, Patmos. Well, but didn't he get released from Patmos? Okay. I thought he said Dallas. I thought, how'd he get to Dallas? You're flying there tomorrow. So what was I? Oh, yeah. After, verse 3, after his death, he showed himself to them and proved in many ways that he was alive. He even ate fish with them, remember? The apostles saw Jesus during the 40 days after he was raised from the dead, and he spoke to them about the kingdom of God. Once, when he was eating with them, he told them not to leave Jerusalem. He said, wait here to receive the promise from the Father, which I told you about. John baptized with water, but in a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And who was he talking to? The 12 apostles. At that time, it was 11. I know what Ruth was thinking. Judas hanged himself. But in soon, right after this, they would choose a 12 apostle to replace him. Which, you know, that song Charlie likes to sing on Sunday morning. Oh, Charlie, by the way, someone recommended that you teach the kids. This is a little light of mine. There is no account of the imparting of miraculous gifts except through the ministry of an apostle of Jesus Christ. I think this is clearly stated in Acts chapter 8, 5 through 19. Let's take a look at this. Acts chapter 8, 5 through 19. Philip went to the city of Samaria and preached about Christ. When the people there heard Philip and saw the miracles he was doing, they all listened carefully to what he said. Many of these people had evil spirits in them, but Paul made the evil spirits leave. The spirits made a loud noise as they came out. Philip also healed many weak and crippled people there. So the people in that city were very happy. When the sick are being healed, I'd be happy too. But there was a man named Simon in that city. Before Simon came there, Simon had practiced magic and amazed all the people of Samaria. He bragged and called himself a great man. All the people, the least important and the most important, paid attention to Simon, saying, this man has the power of God, called the great power. Simon had amazed them with his magic so long that the people became his followers. This is important. But when Philip told them the good news about the kingdom of God and the power of Jesus Christ, men and women believed Philip and were baptized. And forget not that he was doing miracles. You think they were comparing Simon's miracles with Philip? Simon himself believed. The man who was doing miracles himself through magic believed too, because the power of Philip must have been much more than what he could do. And after he was baptized, he stayed very close to Philip, trying to learn his secret, maybe. When he saw the miracles and the powerful things Philip did, Simon was amazed. Why, they're called wonders, aren't they? When the apostles, who were still in Jerusalem, heard that the people of Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. When Peter and John arrived, they prayed that the Samaritan believers might receive the Holy Spirit. These people who had been baptized in the name of Jesus, in the Lord Jesus, but the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them. Then when the two apostles began laying their hands on the people, they received the Holy Spirit. Simon saw that the Spirit was given to the people when the apostles laid their hands on them. So he offered the apostles money, saying, give me also this power so that anyone on whom I lay my hands will receive the Holy Spirit. Luke, being a careful historian, he outlined the propagation of the gospel from Jerusalem at every significant step. The Samaritans had already been converted and baptized at the time of the apostles' arrival. the Spirit had already been bestowed upon them because of his regenerating presence. The new birth. How does the new birth happen? Well, Spirit of God. The Spirit had already been conferred, had not. To regenerate them, to bring about their salvation, the Spirit had to have a part in all of that. I mean, we'll just go ahead and read it. John 3, 5 through 8. The Gospel of John. But Jesus answered, he's talking to Nicodemus, I tell you the truth, unless one is born from water and the Spirit, he cannot enter God's kingdom. Human life comes from human parents, but spiritual life comes from the Spirit. Don't be surprised when I tell you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wants, and you hear the sound of it. But you don't know where the wind comes from or where it is going. It is the same with every person who is born from the Spirit. For them to be called Christians, they had to have been regenerated by the Holy Spirit. But yet, what were they missing? Why did they need the apostles to lay their hands on them to become spirit? I mean, to get the Holy Spirit. This is confirmed by Peter. What Jesus was talking about on the day of Pentecost. Remember, who was given the key to the kingdom of heaven? Who needed to use the key to open it up for the Jewish nation? Jesus. Who's crazy? When the people heard this, he preached a sermon. They felt guilty and asked Peter and the other apostles, what shall we do? Peter said to them, change your hearts and lives and be baptized, each one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far away. It is for everyone the Lord our God calls to himself. Peter warned them with many other words. He begged them, save yourself from the evil of today's people. And those people who accepted what Peter said were baptized. About 3,000 people were added to the number of believers that day, to confirm Jesus' teaching to Nicodemus. What was missing in the city of Samaria was the visible, miracle-working presence of the Spirit. When the apostles laid their hands on the Samaritan believers, the supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit were bestowed. Because Simon saw something happen, didn't he? Simon had to see the outward miracle and was convinced that the apostles could give this power, thereby wanting to buy that power. Philip had been a miracle worker, was he not? Philip was one of those chosen to help take care of the Grecian women and poor who were being ignored. He was a miracle worker, though. Acts 8, 6 through 8, we read it. When the people there heard Philip and saw the miracles he was doing, they all listened carefully to what he said. And then it talks about him throwing out evil spirits and healing the crippled and weak. What made those people happy, remember? So, Philip could not confer the gift of miraculous healing or of casting out a demon. He could do it himself. But he could not confer it. The church in Jerusalem had to send who? Apostles. Two apostles. That's right. Philip was an evangelist, but not an apostle. Philip could preach. He could perform miracles. But apparently he was not able to confer miraculous gifts on people. There are other texts that imply the same truth. Through the ministry of the apostle Peter, miraculous gifts were imparted by the Lord to the first Gentile convert. Who was the first Gentile convert? through the ministry of the Apostle Peter, miraculous gifts were imparted by the Lord unto the first Gentile converts. But it was through his ministry that God used him. He came to Cornelius to read it, Acts 10, 44. While Peter was still saying this, the Holy Spirit came down on those who were listening. The Jewish believers who came with Peter were amazed that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been given even to those who were not Jews. These Jewish believers heard them speaking in different languages and praising God. Then Peter said, "Can anyone keep these people from being baptized with water? They have received the Holy Spirit just as we did." So Peter ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. Once again, why Peter? He had the keys to the kingdom of heaven. He opened it for the Jews, he opened it for the Samaritans, and now he was opening it for non-Jewish people. And it was in a box. It should be remembered, and I mentioned it, that Peter had the keys of the kingdom. The connection between the apostles and the miraculous gifts are also apparent in Paul's ministry. Once he came across disciples of John the Baptist in Ephesus. And in Acts 19, 4 through 6, we read, Paul said, John's baptism was a baptism of changed hearts and lives. He told people to believe in the one who would come after him, and that one is Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Paul laid his hands on them, and the Holy Spirit came upon them. They began speaking different languages and prophesying. There were about 12 people in this group. Luke constantly makes a note of the sign gift being conferred through the apostles' ministry, or here of laying the hands upon them, because this was a unique part of the ministry of an apostle. The ability was one of the signs of the apostle. The signs of an apostle were those unique aspects of the life and ministry of an apostle. These are the things that authenticated him as a representative of Jesus Christ. And through the presence of these signs, people would be able to distinguish between true and false apostles. Anybody can claim to be an apostle. Not everybody could convey miraculous gifts to one another. Paul's ministry in Corinth was undermined by false apostles who were preaching another Jesus. They were causing the Corinthian Christians to doubt Paul's authority. Paul authenticated his divine call by reminding the Corinthians of something. 2 Corinthians 12, 12 and 13. When I was with you, I patiently did the things that prove I am an apostle. Signs, wonders, and miracles. So you received everything that the other churches have received. Only one thing was different. I was not a burden to you. Forgive me. But you see, he said through him, through his ministry, they had all the things that other churches had received. It was through Paul that the Corinthians had come to enjoy their gifts. The church at Rome was evidently not founded by an apostle. Although there is no definite word in Scripture concerning its origin, it was probably begun by converts to Christianity, probably from those that were in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. In Acts 2:10, it tells us that there were people there, Jewish people there, from Rome. Now let's listen to the reason that Paul wanted to visit the church in Rome. It's found in Romans 1, verse 11. I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. So why didn't they have earth with him. Why did Paul need to go? They needed to be spurred by the hand of an apostle. That was the apostle's sign. Both the direct statement and the implication of the scripture supports the teaching that miraculous gifts were bestowed through the hand laying of an apostle only because God, or Jesus, had given them this ability and this sign of apostleship. The conclusion is, when apostles cease living, the miraculous gift stopped being conferred. The one was dependent upon the other. If the office of an apostle was limited to a specific time, then the era of miraculous gifts was also limited. We would expect to find that as years elapsed, the original apostles would die from natural causes or from death. But miraculous gifts would also eventually pass on. I mean, not pass on, but disappear if the apostles died. Although they would outlive the apostles for a while, supernatural gifts would eventually terminate with the death of the last Christian to whom they were conferred to by an apostle. Of course, next week we're going to take a look, are there apostles? Because if there are still apostles today, then miraculous gifts are still here. So next week we will take a look at who and what apostles were, and are there apostles? But maybe there are those of you here this evening who are ready to accept Jesus as Lord, who are invited to do that very thing tonight as we stand and sing.